Everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Global 2000, a blueprint for global genocide when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. And these Global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, as I call them, plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by some 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same words. He used false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, back in 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food, food for the rest of the world, and food for you and me. Today, we Americans have now chosen to live in the cities, and only 3% of us now live on the land. That means 97% of us then are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. Now, we produce grain for export, all right, and then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 World Population Control Program. And these globalists, with their genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause, and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. And remember, my Subsistence and Survival School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free General Law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, this week we're reviewing a book called Global 2000, a blueprint for global genocide. I say book, it's a booklet, about 22 pages, coupled with the report that John Coleman made. Remember, John Coleman is the MI6 agent, secret spook from British intelligence, and he publishes a newsletter, a political newsletter, called World in Review. They're out in Carson City, Nevada. The address is WIR, World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Again, that's World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada. Their zip code 89706. Now, you can call direct. It's toll-free, 1-800-942-0821. Again, that's 1-800-942-0821. Now, when we broke off last time, we were talking about the world's deadliest disease, the world's number one killer. You know, a lot of people would say, well, that must be heart disease. Well, in America, it is, but not worldwide. Around the world, it's tuberculosis, TB, and there are some super TB strains that have been developed, you know, kind of like developing Dolly the sheep through genetic modification or developing genetically modified organisms such as corn and soybean seed. Well, that came from germ warfare. It came from the Cold War. The Russians and the Americans and the British and the French, and I suppose 15 other countries as well, have been delving into the building blocks of life. You know, it's the old story of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And boy, we've been delving into it. And we Americans accept technology. We like it over here. We accept genetically modified foods. I'm not quite sure why. I guess it's just ignorance on our part. The people of Europe now and the people of Asia have rejected it totally. Some nations in Africa who are food deficient have rejected GMO handouts from the United States. More power to them. I think they're wise for doing that. But just goes to show you that we Americans want to force this and this technology off on the rest of the world. And there's a malign intent on our part. Not the average Joe Sixpack American, but our leaders, our government. We have adopted here in the United States a Global 2000 plan in 1978. President Jimmy Carter received it from the Club of Rome, came from Cyrus Vance, a former Secretary of State. It is our public policy. We want to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. We want to rid it of its useless eaters. Useless eaters, primarily Asians. There's too many of you Orientals. And blacks. There are just too many of you blacks, and we want to get rid of you. I'm not speaking now for the average plumber, carpenter, and electrician. I'm just reporting to you that that's what our President George Bush and his predecessor and his predecessor and his predecessor have adopted as public policy in the United States, and it comes from the Committee of 300. And this guy, John Coleman, has written a book called The Committee of 300. You want to know who they are? Write to World in Review, ask for the book on The Committee of 300. I don't know the price. You have to call them at that toll-free number, 1-800-942-0821. Ask them what the price is. It'll be worth its weight in gold to you. God himself said that there are some things that are more valuable than gold. That's right, more valuable than gold. There's some things more valuable than rubies. And I would price the Committee of 300 book right up there. In the book of Proverbs, God uses the terms. He says, you want to seek after knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. They're worth more than gold. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And in case you were wondering, what's more valuable than a ruby? It's a good wife. Proverbs 31 tells you that, far above rubies. All right, we were talking about this tuberculosis problem. Well, China has the most cases of TB outside of Africa. New York City rivals China in the number of TB cases per square mile of the city. And as the tax base of New York has eroded, TB cases began to soar. Then, with the presence of a large homosexual population, HIV cases increased in a spectacular fashion, which in turn fed the spread of TB. San Francisco reports a similar experience. In 20 of the 27 countries in Central and Eastern Europe, TB is raging out of control. TB is making a spectacular comeback in Russia. And TB cannot be prevented by taking antibiotics. All this does is weaken the effect of the antibiotic and helps TB build up resistance to it. Air conditioning is a great way to spread tuberculosis. In San Francisco, where homosexuals going out for a night on the town swallow a fistful of antibiotics before leaving, it was established that the immune system was actually weakened, not strengthened, but weakened, thus increasing rather than decreasing the risk of HIV infection. And the much-touted BCG vaccine will not stop the spread of TB among adults. Even the World Health Organization is slowly and grudgingly revising upwards its estimate of the number of deaths from tuberculosis to 12 million in the next 5 years, still very much underestimated. While the establishment media goes on denying that HIV can be spread by stinging and biting insects, evidence continues to mount that this is probably the easiest way in which the disease can be spread. In 1987, the Office of Technology Assessment, which is an investigative arm of Congress, presented compelling evidence that experiments with mechanical transmission of other viral diseases have shown that, given the right conditions, transmissions through insect vectors can occur. Now, what the OTA, that's the Office of Technology Assessment, concluded was that insufficient studies have been done to prove or disprove that insects can carry HIV through blood sucked from an infected person. Now, Professor C. Chastel of the Virology Laboratory, Brest, France, a man who has a great deal of field experience in Africa, had no doubt that stinging and biting insects can and do carry HIV from one person to another. Addressing the first international conference of tropical neurology, Chastel said that mechanical transmission of HIV by mosquitoes can be expected to accelerate the epidemic of AIDS in the future as the AIDS epidemic spreads into the mosquito-infected African countryside. And if the mosquito can carry malaria and the tsetse fly can carry sleeping sickness, why cannot the mosquito carry HIV and many other deadly viruses? There is no logical reason why this should not be possible and indeed probable. Establishment spokesmen like the discredited Dr. Gallo go right on denying that blood-sucking insects can be carriers. But they're having to go back down in the light of what happened in Cambodia, where the Khmer Rouge troops were decimated by a strange new strain of malaria. All who were infected were stung by the Asian tiger mosquito. Intelligence reports say that there is a strong possibility that the malaria epidemic in Asia was introduced by ELF scalar waves as weapons of warfare experiments. The voracious tiger mosquito is now in the southern United States, and it's beginning to dawn on public health officials that very little can be done to combat this menace. If the tiger mosquito is unleashed in areas with a high incidence of AIDS, such as in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, or in the ghettos of the New York and Los Angeles areas, the spread of malaria could be taking place almost overnight and greatly facilitate the spread of AIDS. Now, this summer, be particularly vigilant. Thus far, 120,000 Cambodians have malaria, and the death rate is rising. Don't trust the U.S. government or the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control, whose task is to work closely with the Global 2000 practitioners and to hand out their disinformation and projections. All over the world, millions of people are suffering from the new strain of malaria, which leaves its victims weak and exhausted and with very much lowered immune systems, ideal for TB, AIDS, meningitis, cholera, and as yet unknown other crafted viruses to come in for the kill. I'm going to take a little moment here, take a second. Let me point out that I was talking about this woman, Shivo. Joe Stalin made an observation one time. He said, now here's the killer, Joe Stalin. I mean, this guy is a mass murderer, killed more people than Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin. Of Russia. He said, when one person dies, it's a tragedy. When a million people die, it's a statistic. And that's all we're talking about here, is statistics. 40 million people have AIDS. That's just a number. When somebody close to you dies, that's a tragedy. But you know, when 40 million people have AIDS, or 40 million people, or in the case of malaria, 3 million people in Africa die every year from malaria, it's a tragedy to each and every one of those 3 million families that lose somebody to malaria. It'll be a tragedy when you die from malaria, won't it? Now, buoyed up by its success in spreading AIDS in Brazil and Africa through smallpox vaccine infected with the HIV virus, the World Health Organization is gearing up for a worldwide vaccine program against malaria. The vaccines may well be laced with a deadly virus like Ebola or sleeping sickness or TB, and there's no way of knowing what the Global 2000 practitioners have in store for us. But it is certain, as intelligence reports indicate, that a speeding up of the Global 2000 plans to kill half of the world population is now in full swing. One thing you can do to protect yourself and your family is to refuse any and all public health vaccinations and or inoculations. Your life depends upon it. Now, here in America, we Americans are mesmerized by vaccines. We believe in our vaccines like we believe in Jesus. And 65% of us go to church every Sunday. I'm just telling you that America is a very religious group of people. And 35 vaccines are given to our children by age 5. Now, let me show you what's happened. Over the 20th century, starting about 1900, through the end of the century, Americans in 1918 were 60% healthy, 40% sick. Today, it's 99% sick and 1% healthy. Now, what do you think these vaccines have done for us? Well, you know, the numbers tell the story. Now, fortunately for me, I haven't had any vaccines. I'm an old man now, and I live my life without vaccines, and I'm still in pretty good health. My immune system still works. God designed your body with an immune system. The immune system is what wards off disease and cures you or heals you when you're sick. When you get sick, you feed your immune system will overcome the disease. Now, when you impair your immune system, and that's all HIV is immune deficiency, some other disease comes in like TB and kills you. Now, if you've got a good, healthy, strong immune system, then when TB viruses or bugs, bacteria or whatever gets in, malaria, your immune system just overcomes it and throws it out, and that's the end of it. Bacteria, bugs, and viruses are everywhere. You're not going to avoid them. Now, when you depress your immune system, that is when you eat poor food, when you live in a toxic environment like Los Angeles County, then you impair your immune system, and then, of course, opportunistic diseases come in and will attack your body, ravage it, and kill it. And that's just where reality is at. That's why I said to you a little earlier, if you've been vaccinated, your immune system's been compromised, you'll probably never get back to full 100%, but if you get on an immune system improvement program, you can probably do a lot to help yourself. But you certainly don't need to be poisoning your children with vaccines. And I pointed out in 1884, that was one of the protocols, the 10th protocol of the Learned Elders. Now, epidemics are waiting to happen. First comes the test run, usually involving relatively small numbers of people and restricted to a target area. This is going on almost daily. New Delhi, India, health authorities said that a new mysterious disease that they haven't been able to identify erupted in the state of Bihar in May of 1995. The number of deaths was put at 500 in just a few days, and neither the CDC nor the World Health Organization responded to my inquiries about the outbreak, which remains unclassified. I want to point out that God mentioned, I think it's in Deuteronomy 28, he said, I will lay diseases upon you that you never heard of before. And that's precisely where we're at in world history today. We have diseases coming out of our germ warfare laboratories that we never heard of. AIDS and Alzheimer's disease and Lou Gehrig's disease and so on. You know, these kinds of diseases, degenerative diseases, you know, like heart attack and stroke and cancer, were practically unheard of 100 years ago. Today, they're household words. They're just as common as apple pie and vanilla ice cream. So that prophecy has come to pass, and we're living in the time of the Book of Revelation. It's going on all around you. But we have become so desensitized to it. It's like Joe Stalin starved 16 million Ukrainians to death. You know, it's just a statistic, it's just a number. It's way back in history, you know, back in the 1930s. Nobody pays any attention to that. Adolf Hitler goes out and kills the people in concentration camps. He did have a pioneering new first. He put death and the destruction of people, the killing of people, on an industrial basis. That was new, that was novel. That's not very popular. So the elitists now say, well, it's not popular to put in death factories like Hitler. That's repugnant. And so what we're going to do is create designer diseases. And then we can all sit back and say, oh, gosh, we just can't imagine where that disease came from. Can't imagine what we're going to do about that. Then they wring their hands, and the president says, well, we're going to spend $15 billion on AIDS and AIDS research and one thing and another. Boy, these are the very people that are spreading it all over the world. These are the elitists. And so we believe they're disinformation. Of course, we want to rush down and get our vaccines, you know, don't we? Now, just pay attention to the numbers again. In 1900, the incidence of cancer was 1 in 33. Today, it's 1 in 2. Now, what in the hell has your government done for you in 100 years of cancer research? They gave you cancer, which is the objective here. And then we take a look at AIDS. Oh, gosh, we're just spending billions of dollars here to combat AIDS. And AIDS went from being epidemic to pandemic, totally out of control worldwide. Now, what in the hell is government doing for you? They're giving you AIDS and vaccines, and they've got laws that require you to be vaccinated, unless you're smart enough to avoid it, which is precisely what the objective is. Vaccinate you, weaken your immune system, so that one of these opportunistic diseases will kill you. That's because you are a useless eater. We need to get rid of you. Now, Global 2000's come a long way since the September 1983 meeting attended by 150 virologists from around the world who met in secret sessions at Cold Spring Harbor. A vast international MHC-type research effort went into action, concentrating on the role of macrophages as a barrier to the spread of infection, and especially to find out why certain viruses are quickly taken up by macrophages. At Cold Springs Harbor, the thrust of such research was to discover how macrophages might be used by the AIDS virus to spread to the rest of the body and disseminate infection. In 1986, there was a second meeting at Cold Spring Harbor to hear Professor W. Bottomier of the Imperial Center, or Cancer Research Center, the Institute, speak on molecular biology of Homo sapiens. And behind closed doors, Bottomier left his listeners in no doubt that the greatest broader problem of society was overpopulation of the world by undesirables. Are you one of those undesirables, boys and girls? He said undesirables and population explosions among the black nations that urgently needed arresting. Are you blacks procreating too rapidly? Now, the sum and substance of Bottomier's address was that only genetically engineered viruses would bring about a resolution of this problem. The Rwandan massacre under the direction and orchestration of Global 2000's Linda Chulker is as much of a shock as the genocidal massacre of more than 2 million Cambodians under the direction of Thomas Enders. The only thing that has changed, as the quickening of the killing pace increases, Global 2000 plotters know that they have a time limit to conform to, and therefore the race is on to rid the world of about 2.5 billion people, substantial numbers of whom will come from the United States by the year 2010. Now, the overall goal is 90%. Now, that's by the year 2050. Their more ambitious short-term goal is 2.5 billion by the year 2010. Now, that's only 5 years away. Suppose they miss the target and they don't kill 2.5 billion people by 2010. Maybe it takes until 2020. You know, 2020, that's 15 years from now. So they're a little behind the eight ball. They're a little slow. Now, this is the conclusion of the report, Global 2000, by John Coleman. Let me give you the name and number again, and then we'll take a look at the population control agenda by Stanley K. Monteith. Monteith is a medical doctor, and he has a talk show program out in California. I forgot the name of it now. And let's take a look at this population control program from the eyes of another fellow, in case you say to yourself, this guy Gordon's off his rocker, and he's kind of nutty, and this Coleman I've never heard of. Let's take a look at a third witness over here and see what they've got to say. The Population Control Agenda by Stanley K. Monteith. He's a medical doctor, a little different perspective here. He says, one of the most difficult concepts for Americans to accept is that there are human beings dedicated to coercive population control and genocide. Many readers will acknowledge that our government is helping to finance the Red Chinese program of forced abortion, forced sterilization, infanticide, and control the numbers of live births. And most readers will accept the fact that our nation is helping to finance the United Nations Worldwide Family Planning Program, a form of population control. Most rational men and women, however, find it impossible to believe that such programs are really part of a master plan to kill off large segments of the world's population. Now, I shall have to admit that I studied the politics of AIDS, HIV disease, for over a decade before I finally came to a horrifying conclusion. The real motivation behind efforts to block utilization of standard public health measures to control the further spread of HIV epidemic was population control. That was not an easy concept for me as a medical doctor to acknowledge, despite the fact that I had long recognized that the 20th century has been the bloodiest 100-year period in all of recorded human history. But it was not until I journeyed to Elberton, Georgia, and I stood within the dark shadows of the great druid-like monument built there, and then read the words engraved on the massive stone pillars of that structure, that I finally came to accept the truth. At that point, it became obvious that just as our Lord has given mankind 10 commandments to guide our lives, so too those from the dark side have been given their instructions from the one they worship, Satan the devil. The 10 programs of the guides are inscribed in 8 different languages on the 4 great granite pillars of the American Stonehenge. That message foretells a terrifying future for humanity and explains why efforts to approach the AIDS epidemic from a logical point of view have been consistently thwarted. Now, before you scoff and reject my suggestion as some sort of madness, check out my references and then try to disprove my conclusions. And if my allegations are unfounded, you'll soon recognize the deception and return to your daily activities, certain that there is no cause for alarm or concern. On the other hand, should you determine that my assessment is correct or even partially correct, then you have a moral obligation to decide just what part you intend to play in response to the unfolding world of genocide and how you will protect yourself, your loved ones, and the countless millions of helpless human beings throughout the world who have been marked for death. And you must never forget the warning recorded for posterity by Martin Niemöller, I believe it is, the Lutheran minister who lived in Hitler's Germany during the 1930s and 40s, and in his words, echo down to us over succeeding decades. He said, in Germany they came first for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, there was no one left to speak up. Now, you'll note that Reverend Niemöller warned that after coming for the Jews, the Nazis came for both Catholics and Protestants. And why is that fact never mentioned? The question that I am most frequently asked is, well, how can you possibly believe that there are people who intend to kill off large segments of the world's population? And my answer is very simple. I hold that belief because I have read their books and writings. I believe they're telling the truth, just as Adolf Hitler wrote of his plans for Europe in Mein Kampf. So, too, those who intend to depopulate large segments of the earth have written of the necessity of limiting the world's population, and they fully intend to exterminate a significant portion of the world's population. The fact that the vast majority of Americans have never heard of their intent, or of the Georgia Guidestones in Elberton, Georgia, or of the plan and the hierarchy, attests to the degree of media control that exists over the American people and that has been allowed them to know about the occultic forces which are working within our society today. Let's take a break right here. Let me give you a quick message, and we'll be back with Dr. Stanley Monteith, the Population Control Agenda. Remember, we're looking at Global 2000, the 2000 report published by Dr. John Coleman of the MIR, or WIR, I should say. It's World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. You can call and order a copy of Global 2000 report at 1-800-942-0821. Again, that's 1-800-942-0821. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of the networks or of this local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Scripture tells us that we need two witnesses. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. So we looked at the witness, the testimony of Dr. John Coleman. Now we're looking at the testimony of Dr. Stanley Monteith. I've forgotten what Monteith's radio program is called, but he's on. In fact, I think he's on nationwide. I forgot the name of the program. Maybe here in the back of the paper it tells us. Hang on a second. I don't see a thing on here. But I've heard Monteith's tapes, and I think he's in Monterey, California. If I remember right, Monterey, California, and he has a radio program, talk show out there. Been on for many years. I've heard him a time or two on the air, and I think that broadcast is put out nationwide. It may even be on the Internet. I don't know, but look up this name Monteith on the Internet and see if you can come up with something. The document that he wrote here that I'm citing from is called The Population Control Agenda. Stanley K. Monteith, M.D., his name is spelled M-O-N-T-E-I-T-H. I wish I could remember what his radio program is called. I'm pretty sure it's probably on the Internet. Look up that word Monteith and see if you can come up with something. Margaret Sanger. You ever heard that name? Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. Let me put on my glasses here so that we can take a look at Margaret Sanger. Now, as you read on, you'll soon discover that I've primarily relied on material which can be readily found in books, audio-taped interviews, and public news sources. If you take the time to check my references, you'll soon discover that there really are those who have publicly advocated the elimination of human weeds and the cleansing of society. Add those words to our vocabulary here, boys and girls, like useless eaters, and AIDS and flu, bubonic plague, Lassa fever, the protocols of the learned elders, human weeds, and cleansing of society. Indeed, to this very day, your tax money is being used to finance Planned Parenthood, an organization founded by Margaret Sanger. During the 1930s, Margaret Sanger openly supported the Nazi plan for genetic engineering of the German population and the propagation of a super race. In Planned Parenthood's 1985 annual report, leaders of that organization proclaimed that they were proud of our past and planning for our future. Now, how could anyone possibly claim to be proud of the organization founded by Margaret Sanger when history records that she wrote of the necessity of, quote, the extermination of human weeds, the cessation of charity, the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and the sterilization of genetically inferior races, unquote. Now, that's the foundation of our current public, federally funded policy of abortion here in the United States, called Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger published the Birth Control Review, and in that magazine she openly supported the infanticide program promoted by Nazi Germany in the 1930s, and publicly championed Adolf Hitler's goal of Aryan white supremacy. And in the years prior to World War II, Margaret Sanger commissioned Ernst Rüden, a member of the Nazi Party and director of the dreaded German medical experimentation programs, to serve as an advisor to her organization. In his excellent book, Killer Angel, George Grant chronicles the life and writings of Margaret Sanger and painstakingly documents Sanger's plans for the genetic engineering of the human race. George Grant noted that in the 1920s, Margaret Sanger wrote The Pivot of Civilization, in which she called for, quote, the elimination of human weeds, for the cessation of charity, because it prolonged the lives of the unfit, for the segregation of morons, misfits, and the maladjusted, and for the sterilization of genetically inferior races. And according to George Grant, Margaret Sanger believed that the unfit should not be allowed to reproduce. Accordingly, she opened a birth control clinic in Brownsville section of New York, an area populated by newly immigrated Slavs, Latins, Italians, and Jews, and she targeted the unfit for her crusade to save the planet, unquote. 19 years later, in 1939, Margaret Sanger organized her Negro Project, a program designed to eliminate members of what she believed to be an inferior race. Margaret Sanger justified her proposal because she believed that the masses of Negroes, particularly in the South, still breed carelessly and disastrously, with the result that the increase among Negroes, even more than among whites, is from that portion of the population least intelligent and least fit for reproduction, unquote. Margaret Sanger then went on to reveal that she intended to hire 3 or 4 colored ministers to travel to various black enclaves to propagandize for birth control. She wrote, quote, the most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members, unquote. Margaret Sanger. As Margaret Sanger's organization grew in power, influence, and acceptance, she began to write of the necessity of targeting religious groups for destruction as well, believing that the dysgenic races should include fundamentalists and Catholics, in addition to blacks, Hispanics, and American Indians. Unquote. Now, as the years went by, Margaret Sanger became increasingly obsessed with her occultic beliefs, and along with her acceptance of the occult, she became increasingly hostile to both Christianity and the American precepts of individual freedom under God. Her distaste for America can be seen in her writings when she wrote, quote, birth control appeals to the advanced radical because it is calculated to undermine the authority of the Christian churches. I look forward to seeing humanity free someday of the tyranny of Christianity, no less than capitalism. Unquote. Margaret Sanger eventually embraced not only communism, but theophacy as well. Now, what is theophacy? Well, theophacy is a covert occultic religion based upon the repudiation of God and the worship of Lucifer. In modern-day America, theophacy is one of the most powerful hidden occult forces working behind the scenes in New York City, Washington, D.C., and across our major metropolitan areas today. How many times have you been told that Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust? What you probably have never been told, however, is the segment of the Holocaust tragedy recorded by Professor Norman Cohn in his historical account of the Jewish Holocaust. It's called Warrant for Genocide. Professor Cohn chronicled the dark days of World War II, noting that only about 1/3 of the civilians killed by the Nazis and their accomplices were Jews. Other peoples were marked out for dissemination, subjugation, and enslavement, and ultimately death also. And the civilian losses of some of these countries amounted to 11 to 12% of the total population, not just Jews, total population, unquote. If Professor Cohn's figures are anywhere near accurate, and I feel certain that they are, because other Jewish researchers have come up with similar figures, then why haven't the Christians of America been allowed to learn the fact that in addition to the 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis, that somewhere between 7 and 12 million non-Jews were also ruthlessly liquidated in Hitler's Germany? I believe that this information has been intentionally suppressed because those who were killed were largely Christians, and the covert forces which control the reality of the American public today do not want the followers of Jesus Christ in our nation to awaken to their peril, until, of course, it's far too late. Now, Hitler hated not only Jews and Judaism, he also hated Christians and Christianity as well. And why was that? Well, Adolf Hitler, just like Margaret Sanger, was a disciple of Theosophy and of Madame Blavatsky, the founder of a religion that worshipped Lucifer. And accordingly, both Margaret Sanger and Adolf Hitler were energized by the same dark spiritual force, Satan, Lucifer. The fact that most of our citizens have never heard of Madame Blavatsky, Theosophy, or that two of Theosophy's most ardent disciples were Adolf Hitler and Margaret Sanger, clearly reflects the degree of mind control that exists over what the American people have been allowed to learn about the occultic forces at work within our nation today. Now, as a researcher on the subject of the occult, I regularly receive letters and publications from the Lucas Trust. The Lucas Trust of today is the modern-day extension of the Lucifer Publishing Company. You will see the Lucas Trust from time to time advertised on PBS. It's an organization founded by Alice Bailey during the early years of the 20th century. Now, Alice Bailey was a disciple of Madame Blavatsky's and a nominal leader of the Theosophical Society between the early 1900s and the early 1930s. Because the name Lucifer had such a bad connotation in those days, especially among Christians, Alice Bailey changed the name of her organization from the Lucifer Publishing Company to the Lucas Trust. The nature and beliefs of her organization, however, have always remained the same. The Lucas Trust of today is one of the major front groups through which Theosophy works to influence life here in America. The supernatural powers that still energize the Lucas Trust today certainly come from the same dark spiritual forces that energized Madame Blavatsky, Adolf Hitler, and Margaret Sanger in generations past. Publications from the Lucas Trust regularly refer to the plan for humanity that has been established by the hierarchy. Part of that plan is inscribed on the great granite pillars of the American Stonehenge in Elberton, Georgia. It's called the Georgia Guidestones. You want to remember that, the Georgia Guidestones in Elberton, Georgia, E-L-B-E-R-T-O-N, Georgia. It's a monument dedicated to, erected for, the express purpose of population control. Now, a full discussion on the subjects of population control and occultism is far beyond the scope of this short monograph. Full documentation on these subjects will be found in my soon-to-be-published book, None Dare Call It Genocide. At this point, let me simply offer a few examples of the views expressed by those who publicly advocate population reduction and or genocide. David Graeber, a research biologist with the National Park Service, was quoted in the Los Angeles Times book review section on October the 22nd, 1989, as saying, quote, human happiness and certainly human fecundity are not as important as a wild and healthy planet. I know social scientists who remind me that people are part of nature, but it isn't true. We have become a plague upon ourselves and upon the earth. Until such time as Homo sapiens should decide to rejoin nature, some of us can only hope for the right virus to come along. Unquote. Michael Fox, then, when he was the vice president of the Humane Society of the United States, wrote, quote, mankind is the most dangerous, destructive, selfish, and unethical animal on the earth. Unquote. In the first Global Revolution, published by the Council of the Club of Rome, an international elitist organization, the authors note that, quote, in searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All of these dangers are caused by human intervention. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself, unquote. The Los Angeles Times of April 5, 1994, quoted Cornell University professor David Pimentel, speaking before the American Association for the Advancement of Science, as saying that, quote, the total world population should be no more than 2 billion rather than the current 5.6 billion, unquote. In the UNESCO Courier of November 1991, Jacques Cousteau wrote, quote, the damage people cause to the planet is a function of demographics. It is equal to the degree of development. One American burdens the earth much more than 20 people from Bangladesh. This is a terrible thing to say. In order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. It is a horrible thing to say, but it's just as bad not to say it. Unquote. Jacques Cousteau. Now, Bertrand Russell, in his book, The Impact of Science on Society, wrote, quote, at present, the population of the world is increasing. War, so far, has had no great effect on this increase. I do not pretend that birth control is the only way in which population can be kept from increasing. There are others. If a black death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. The state of affairs might be somewhat unpleasant, but what of it? Really high-minded people are indifferent to suffering, especially that of others. Unquote. Bertrand Russell. Negative Population Growth Incorporated of Teaneck, New Jersey, recently circulated a letter stating their long-range goal. It says, quote, we believe that our goal for the United States should be no more than 150 million people, our size in 1950. For the world, we believe our goal should be a population of not more than 2 billion people, its size shortly after the turn of the century. Unquote. In the Global Assessment Report of UNEP, that's a United Nations-sponsored study group, Phase 1, Draft Section 9, the authors quoted an expert who suggested that a reasonable estimate for an industrialized world society at the present North American material standard of living would be about 1 billion people worldwide. At the more frugal European standard of living, 2 to 3 billion would be possible, unquote. Now, this comes from New Age and evolutionary philosophy. Speaking at a roundtable discussion group at the Gorbachev Conference held in San Francisco in the fall of 1996, Dr. Sam Keen, a New Age writer and philosopher, stated that there was strong agreement that religious institutions have to take a primary responsibility for the population explosion. And he went on to say that, quote, we must speak far more clearly about sexuality, contraception, about abortion, and about values that control the population, because the ecological crisis, in short, is the population crisis. Cut the population by 90%, and there aren't enough people left to do a great deal of ecological damage. Mr. Keene's remarks were met with applause from the assembled audience, made up largely of New Age adherents, socialists, internationalists, and occultists. Many of the leading occultists of our modern world attended that meeting in San Francisco. It's a meeting organized by Mikhail Gorbachev, the former director of the Soviet KGB and later president of Russia. Today he is funded and lives in the Presidio of San Francisco, California, funded by the United States taxpayer. So what is the message found on the Georgia Guidestones? What is the plan of the guides? Well, if you read occultic literature, you'll soon find that those who worship Lucifer today refer to the hierarchy that guides both their actions and the affairs of the world. But just who are the hierarchy? The Lucas Trust, formerly the Lucifer Publishing Company, recently sent a letter to their supporters stating, quote, the spiritual hierarchy makes definite use of the 12 spiritual festival periods. We can learn to cooperate with the members of the hierarchy as they work to bring the divine plan to the attention of men and women of goodwill and spiritual aspiration everywhere throughout the world. The idea of spiritual approach of hierarchy to humanity and humanity to hierarchy is the primary principle underlying meditation. Understanding of how the spiritual energies which flow through each zodiacal sign can illumine and inspire right human relations. Unquote. Now, the ancient Druids were members of an occultic religion. The Circle of Monuments at Stonehenge in England is occultic, and the message engraved on the American Stonehenge in Elberton is occultic. Yoko Ono is the widow of John Lennon, a man who was deeply involved in the occult. Yoko Ono has written a musical score with three movements dedicated to the message of the Georgia Guidestones, and she was recently quoted as saying, quote, I want people to know about the stones. We're headed toward a world where we might blow ourselves up and maybe the globe will not exist. It's a nice time to reaffirm ourselves knowing all the beautiful things that are in this country, and the Georgia Stones symbolize that, unquote. Well, what is the message to modern-day man, which is engraved on the great stone pillars of this Druid-like monument in Elberton, Georgia? Well, the first of the guides reads, quote, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. This means the entire human race at its climax level for permanent balance with nature, unquote. Now think about that for a moment. You know, when I started this series, I said the intent that comes from the Club of Rome, which is the primary motivator, the political motivator around the world today, to reduce the Earth's population by 90% sounded pretty preposterous, didn't it? And then we saw Dr. John Coleman's book, Global 2000, and his report that dates clear back to the 1960s, late 60s. And he said, you know, people just laughed at me, thought I was kind of nuts. When you look back over the last 40 years or so, and you'll notice that we have some diseases now, as Bertrand Russell said, what we need is a black plague every generation. We need to maintain the world's population at about 500 million. Well, boys and girls, there's 6 billion people in the world. Subtract 500 million from 6 billion, and that means that there's about 5.5 billion people that need to die. And they plan to do that over the next 50 years, and you're probably one of them. And of course, that fits in also with Bible prophecy. And next time, the last segment in this report, we'll continue with Dr. Monteith's analysis and his report. And remember, God told us, he said, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. We have many, many witnesses cited in their writings, cited in their books, cited on a monument in Elberton, Georgia, boys and girls. I mean, it's like Stonehenge. It's a huge granite monument with the words chiseled in the stone. Right here in the United States of America. And we're telling people in our writings around the world, we need to get rid of all of you blacks, Indians, Jews, Orientals. Think of that. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. All right, we're about out of time, so we're going to have to leave it right there. We'll conclude this next time here on The Law Hour, an editorial review. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, time's up. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.